conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, is his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, and give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open your word to us. We might understand it and that we might follow it and obey it. In Jesus' name, Amen. Right, our relationships. We've been looking at the book of Romans for a long time now, and the first 11 chapters have contained teaching that is quite difficult to understand, but we need to take on board. What does it mean to be a Christian? How does anyone become a Christian? How in particular can Gentiles, non-Jews, those who are not members of God's chosen people, how could they become Christians? The fact is, we've seen over the months, that we can become Christians. And when we do, this will change our lives forever, and our lives right now. The last few chapters of the book, beginning at chapter 12, we're going to look at this morning, these are easier to understand. As Christians, we may well think they're pretty obvious, but that doesn't mean that we don't need them, that we'll automatically put them into practice. Chapter 12 deals with some of our relationships. How we relate, first of all, to God, and then to ourselves. Strange thought that. and then to other people, which includes other Christians and also those who may seem to be or actually are enemies. So first of all, God. How must we relate to God? Well, firstly, we must remember that if we are Christians, we are all members of one family, and that family is God's family. Look at the first verse of the chapter. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Paul, the writer, who at this point had never even been to Rome, well, despite that fact he hadn't been to Rome, he sees the Christians of Rome as being a band of brothers and sisters, actually, members of one family, God's family and his own family. Now, often we hear Christians call one another brother or sister, but how much does that mean? Do we think of one another as members of our family? Or is it just we can't be bothered to remember their name? Could be. Secondly, all of us, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, we've benefited from God's love. We've received mercy, and we go on receiving mercy. Paul appeals in the first verse, by the mercies of God. Mercies that he experiences, and that these Christians in Rome also experience. Mercies that we, if we're Christians, also experience. Mercy. We deserve nothing from God. We are only Christian because God has shown us mercy. Can I ask, is there a whistle? No? Must be. Yes, a bit. Right. Could it be turned down slightly? See. Thirdly, as a consequence of what we have received from God, we owe him everything. In this first verse, we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. What's that mean? Well, it may not mean a good deal to us, but everyone at that time, whether they were Jews or Gentiles, knew what it was to present a sacrifice. No way could they change their minds and take back a sacrifice. It was burnt up beyond recall. Now Paul was saying, give a sacrifice. Nay, more than that, give a living sacrifice. Give yourselves, give your bodies as a living sacrifice. They and we were to present our bodies totally to God as instruments of righteousness. Think what this means. We're to present our bodies totally to God. Think of our various body parts, arms, legs, heads, so on. Think what it means to present them to God. Paul here focuses on our minds. Verse 2, we must have renewed minds. How are we to understand? How are we to understand the will of God? How are we to understand what is good, acceptable, and perfect? In particular, in relationship to ourselves and to others. Start with ourselves. How do we relate to ourselves? How do we understand what's good, acceptable, and perfect in relation to ourselves? Is that a funny thing to ask? But how do we think of ourselves? It seems the people Paul was writing to were in danger of thinking of themselves more highly than they ought. They thought that they were very special. Maybe we're like that. But perhaps that's not our problem. Perhaps we think of ourselves as unimportant people. People who don't count, who have nothing to contribute. We think of ourselves not more highly than we ought, but more lowly. Jesus died for us. And we're all very important to him. We're all different, in fact, but Paul's words apply to each of us. Paul, think with sober judgment, not too highly, not too lowly. Think with sober judgment in relation to our faith. In relation to how God has judged us and has had mercy on us. Think with sober judgment in relation to our gifts. Because God has given us all gifts. Various gifts, but all given by his grace. Look at the list of gifts we have here from verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in a proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The important thing is not to think about these, not to attempt to define them precisely, but to use them. Now, there are several lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible, and they're all different. I would guess that God gives gifts to his people that he knows will enable them to serve him in their situations. Perhaps, for instance, in our situation, he'll give someone or a few people with the ability to lead children of secondary school age. Well, the gifts mentioned here, Romans 12, can be thought of as speaking gifts and serving gifts, speaking gifts, prophecy, speaking under divine inspiration, speaking in agreement with the faith, teaching, exhortation or encouragement. Serving gifts, serving itself, contributing, helping generously, leading, performing acts of mercy. Now, we haven't all got speaking gifts, but we've all got some sort of gift. How do we relate to others? How do we relate to one another? How do we relate even to our enemies? Well, verse 9, our love must be genuine. Our love must be real. Let love be genuine. Of course we love one another, don't we? Really? What do we mean by love? We talk about it a lot, but there's a difference between talking about love and actually loving. Our love must be real, must be genuine. Our love must be real, and we must be discerning. Verse 9 again, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. We must discern what's evil, what's good. Don't judge, we think. Is that actually right? We must judge what is wrong, abhor or hate what is evil. We must be able to recognize evil and hate it. And it's just as important to recognize good and hold fast to it. We must be discerning. We must be affectionate. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Really love one another as brothers. We must honour one another. We must be enthusiastic. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. We mustn't be half-hearted. We must be fervent. We must really serve the Lord and serve one another. We must be joyful, verse 12. And if our hope is real, this should cause us no difficulty. I've got a friend who has pancreatic cancer, and she has said, how could she as a Christian lose out? If she lives, great. If she dies, she's with the Lord eternally. She's joyful. We must be joyful. We must be patient. Verse 12. Be patient in tribulation. When times are bad, we must be patient. And we must be prayerful. Be constant in prayer. Constant, not just occasional, not just at specific times in the week or in the day, but constant. We must be generous, verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints, contribute to each other's needs, and we must be hospitable. Verse 14, we must bless our enemies, those who persecute us. What does blessing mean? Well, a few ideas. Pray for them. Pray that God would bless them. Do good to them. We must rejoice with people and weep with them. We must live in harmony with people. Verse 16, do our best to get on with people. Don't feel ourselves to be different. Don't feel superior to them. Do what's honourable. Do what's right. Let your public behaviour be above criticism. Live in peace with everybody if we possibly can. Don't do anything to cause trouble. Don't avenge ourselves. Accept that the one who is to judge is God, not us. Serve our enemies. Verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Serve our enemies. And finally, overcome evil with good. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a lot in this, and there's no way you could take it all in just as we go through it quickly. So please have a look at this passage again and think not just what the words mean, but how we can live them out in practice. Our faith must transform our attitude to God, our attitude to ourselves, our attitude to one another, and our attitude to other people. If it doesn't, it's not real. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that after difficult doctrine, we come to very practical teaching about how we should live. And I pray that we won't ignore this. I pray that we'll take it on board. I pray that we'll be changed by what we read, what we learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Now can we stand, please, and sing the final hymn, which is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.